Neliswa, you'll pardon me because I've been having this problem of logging in with my laptop. I was trying my iPad also. I'm having a problem with it. So this thing of us being physically, it's real, honorable members. So when next time I say to you, we are going to have a meeting physically, members should take note that the meeting will be physically, because we are avoiding these kind of things. Because now I can't even open my camera on my phone, because if I open my camera, then it will also distract my gadget, and I'm afraid it will cut off. So yeah, those are the few remarks that I wanted to raise with you, honorable members. May we get apologies, Nelly.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members and officials and commissioners from the CGE and the ARC. I have not received any apologies, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nelisa. We can move straight to the chair. We're starting with what the internal risk and what. Nelisa?
It's the presentation, Chair, from the Audit and Risk Committee of the CGE, Chair. Thank you. We're starting with them, Chair.
Okay. Over to you, Audit and Risk Committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning to my colleagues at the CGE. If I may take this opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Nkosini Mashabane. I'm the acting chairperson of the Audit Committee at the CGE. And I want to thank you, Chair, for inviting us to come and share with you our understanding, our observation, and our recommendation to the CGE and on the work of the CGE. We have a report which is 15 pages detailing the proceedings of our meetings that took place on the 30th of May, 20th of June, and 25th of July. There were two meetings that had to attend to a specific matter, being the one on the 30th of May and the 20th of June, and then we had our ordinary committee meeting on the 25th of July to attend to the first quarter. I shall deal with all three in the same sequence, basically the earliest date being the one that's presented first. Our meeting that occurred on the 30th of May, as I indicated, had to deal with the annual financial statements and the annual performance reports, which in terms of the law are supposed to be presented to the Auditor General for auditing, and then thereafter come to this committee and Parliament. We do report that we undertook that exercise, which was concluded, and we were able to submit the financial statements and the performance reports to the Auditor General on time for them to commence with their review, as is the case annually. We also, to improve the process of preparing the financial statement, submitted recommendations to the accounting officer in response to the challenges which we encountered. And the key to our recommendations was the need to have the CFO. And we are pleased to learn that Dr. Ngwenya has joined the CFO. And also we urged the accounting officer to provide the CFO with the personnel and technical support that is requisite of the entire finance unit so that the work can flow without hindrances. We also ask that the accounting officer largely look at some of the things that may have caused the challenges which we encountered in completing the exercise and submitting the financial statements to the AG then. So those were the basically key recommendations we made as a committee to the accounting officer then. And we are happy to learn or to note that the CFO is appointed and she will be now putting all the structures and getting the people who are needed to ensure that finance and administration at large happens effectively at the CGM. If I may, Chair, I also report on the meeting that we had on the 20th of June 2022, where we attended to two key documents for our work as the audit committee, one being the charter of the internal auditor, and also the charter of the audit and risk committee, our committee. I do report, Chair, that as it relates to the internal audit charter, compared to how the unit has been functioning previously, there hasn't any changes which were proposed. We accepted the manner in the authority delegated to the CAE and how they account both to the accounting officer and also to the ARC as prescribed in the charter. And that document in its form was accepted by us and recommended for approval by the accounting office. However, as it relates to the charter of the Audit and Risk Committee, I submit, Chair, that there were proposals made primarily on the composition of the Audit Committee itself. We requested that given that in terms of the general notice issued by Treasury in line with the authority of the PFMA, we then proposed that the minimum number of members in the committee be changed to 4 instead of 3, and also that the appointments be staggered, not to occur at the same time. And this was to one respond to what we observed earlier in the year when the chairperson resigned. We were left 2 basically as members, which meant that we were not complying with the provision of the general notice, which required at least there must be 3 members. And also to assist in the future and ensure continuity, we then propose that the staggering of the appointments will one allow the CGE time to replace members as and when their term expires, but also will allow the committee to retain and ensure continuity when other members are joining and when other members their services terminated within the committee. We also propose in the charter that the charter deals specifically with how and when the membership is.
Sorry, Chair. I'm so sorry, Chairperson. Chair, if we could please ask the CGE to flag their presentation, if that's possible.
Hello, Nazmi.
Chair, I'm just asking if the CGE is able to flag their presentation so that we can follow with them.
Yes, they must flight their presentation. The chairperson of the Internal Audit and Risk Committee. Yes, he must flight his presentation. Neliso must give them the right to flight it.
I did check. Thank you.
All right.
Let me attempt to show that on the screen. Is the surplus at 6.8 million, which was recorded. This in plain basically informs us that which was available to the CGE for use or for spending was not in full spend. So spending was below the income that was available for the quarter one. And primarily this was during the organogram, which are vacant or which were vacant during the first quarter, which will they have been filled, it will have perhaps improved the picture and either we have spent in full or the spending will not have set at 6.8 million. We also note and give thanks to the assistance from the Revenue Fund for the allocation that was made available to the CGE for 2021-2022. Especially the 10% increase or adjustments on the baseline, which we believe on the mandate. We report also that the first tranche of the total allocation, which represents 25%, was duly received for the first quarter. However, we are concerned as the committee on the growing amount of cash that's held by the CG. And we have put this for the CFO to devise means working with the other colleagues to ensure that we have a better way of utilizing our cash resources for an entity that is supposed to advance certain societal needs. We of the view that 29 million is in the bank. It's too high a bank balance. We ought to reach to society, contribute to the economic activities that are there, and this is money that can be utilized in that way, and also advancing the strategic outcome oriented goals of the CG. We have submitted to management to attend to the matters concerning the many lease agreements that are either expired or coming to an expiry date clause. We note that in a number of offices, at the time of reporting, there were these month-to-month arrangements, which we believe are not one giving the colleagues who are occupying those offices that sense of comfort on their workplace location, which influence all other things, including their mode of traveling between home and work. But also financially, it may not prove to be the best choice when you contract on a month-to-month. We then ask that the CFO lead this one to ensure that at least we secure accommodation for all our staff, and the accommodation we secure should be proper, and responding to the occupational health and safety regulations. We also had opportunity to look at the performance report on the first quarter. We noted the achievement submitted by the commission on the targets for the quarter, and we commend them on the performance reported for the quarter. However, we urge management to guard against the weaknesses and findings that were communicated by the audit general as it relates to the annual performance report, especially on verifying the credibility of the performance that's being reported and ensuring that there is a file of evidence to prove the report, I mean the results that are reported against those targets. We also note the process as it relates to risk management. We haven't had, or I would say the risk management processes at the CGE had not reached a level of maturity where we are able to say risk identification, risk assessment, risk mitigation and monitoring is on par with the requirements or the standards that are out there and adjudicated by various bodies. We also note the vacant position of the risk management committee chairperson, which again contributes to the weaknesses around this activity. However, at the time of reporting, we were assured that the position was at a stage where they were shortlisting for potential candidates who will then assume the position of the chairperson. We then believe that once that structure is capacitated, or the people who are supposed to lead the structure are there, will be able to engage meaningfully, given we will be talking to identified people and we'll be able to track whether our recommendation or their commitment is being implemented. We raised concern around the broader management of applicable laws and regulations and how the CGE is able to evaluate itself continuously as far as complying with applicable laws. Of note is the absence of a compliance universe, which looks at all aspects of legislations that governs not only financial management, but also occupational health and safety, human resource, and so forth, including the protection of personal information, a piece of legislation which is new and everybody's finding ways to comply with it. We then advise that the CGE attends to this aspect of business and ensure that there is a full compliance universe and all the applicable legislations are identified, and the CGE is able to test whether that which we currently are doing is ensuring compliance with those legislation or improvement if necessary. And we also requested that the activity at best should be led by either a risk officer or someone involved with monitoring activities at the CGM, and not those who are responsible for ensuring that compliance is achieved. And the last matter is in relation to irregular expenditure disclosing the annual financial statements. We learned from the Auditor General also, and also the CFO, that during the recent audit process, or during the audit that was concluded recently, the AG had advised the CGE to reclassify the expenses which were previously disclosed as irregular expenditure. These are expenses that relate to claims which were made by commissioners. The reclassification meant that these expenses are now termed fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We received their submission and accepted the position that these assurance providers who were involved in examining the matter provided to us. However, we were concerned in the fact that when these expenses were disclosed as irregular expenses, the facts that were present then were also present during the recent audit, and the people involved had concluded differently on the same facts. So this was concerning to us. However, it does not in any way suggest that we doubt the conclusion that the assurance providers have reached. But we were worried in the manner in which they've applied it themselves throughout the process and in this different reporting period. We then recommended to the CFO and the authorities involved that the process of dealing with what is termed fruitless and wasteful expenditure be adhered to, honestly, including investigating the occurrence of this. Perhaps I would rather say, including raising the debt and making a determination whether this should be recovered from someone or it should be written off, because there are two possible outcomes as far as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It's either you recover it from a debtor, who can be held responsible for it, or the CGE has to then write off the debt if it cannot be recovered, and provide the financing for that. So this is the position as a committee we then submitted in response to, firstly, the inquiries we have received as a committee, and also having looked at the matter from our side, and the submissions that the AG and the CFO made at our meeting. I'd like to thank you, Chair, and the members of the committee, and also my colleagues from the CG. And this concludes our submission to the PC. Thank you, Chair, again.
Thank you very much. May I get hands, honorable members, for clarity seeking question? Whilst I'm still struggling, you know, I tried to switch off my gadgets and restart them so that I can access all the reports. And I can see, you know, the devil is a lie. Honorable members, over to you.
Chair, can I propose that we deal with the both reports so that we can engage together?
Honorable members, I think the chairperson has a network problem, and we can't hear her. She's muted. Or honorable chair, is still on the platform. Okay. Honorable members, are there any members who wish to make any clarity-seeking questions on the presentation from the ARC? I see the hand of Honorable Member Sharif.
Thank you very much. My question is just on clarity around where the committee speaks about a concern in which assurance providers have not given due diligence. I just wanted to ask him to explain more on what this means and what exactly do they mean by not given due diligence.
Thank you, Member Sharif. Honorable members, I'm not seeing any hands. Therefore, I'll give this opportunity to the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee to respond to the question by Honorable Member Sharif.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Honorable Member Sharif on the question. Our basis for concern is the line item irregular expenditure and the nature of it is that one concludes that it's a material line item in the financial statement, and then the auditors will be expected to apply themselves with the diligence due to a material line items in the financial statement, and therefore arrive to a conclusion which is either communicated via the management report or the audit report. So in the previous year, that was the expectations, and the auditors accepted the classification as irregular expenditure, and so giving a report that says the financial statements were not qualified or there was no material non-compliance in relation to that line item. However, in the recent audit on that same matter, and we haven't learned that there were any new facts that we discovered subsequently, then the position changed from what is termed irregular expenditure to what is termed fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is the worst position for one, because the fruitless and wasteful expenditure suggests that there were money spent or used, however, the entity did not earn any value from that, which is a worse position if you were to compare to what is termed irregular expenditure, which in most cases may just be a non-compliance, however, value was earned. But when it comes to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are saying the people the highest authority body in the entity, which being the commissioners, have utilized money at the CGE and no value was earned from the money which was spent on them. And that's what's concerning to us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Honorable Ben Boni.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, delegation from CGA. Chair, having seen and listened to the report by the Chairperson of the Audit Committee, let me say we welcome the report. With on the point that talks to the surplus that has been reported that has been highlighted in the report, that CGE reports some surpluses, and that is in the expense of personnel. And I think the chairperson of the committee of audit also goes further to say that the advising, actually I see it as an advice to CGE that the vacant positions needs to be filled urgently so that there is no unnecessary surplus that is reported while there is a shortage of personnel within field work. It will assist also with other issues that we normally raise of having to have consultants as it's easier when you have people employed full time doing particular thing. I think that's also a vision, a structure like an entity like CGE where there is a levels of understanding, whereas there is a lot of work that they need to be doing out there. And I think those are the things that they need to really pay attention to. But also importantly, to take the advice of the Audit and Risk Committee and make sure that they comply so that next time when we meet and raise talking about these reports, we don't raise the same thing. And make sure that the AG has flagged on there, but we cannot celebrate unqualified report and not attending to the issues that have been highlighted that might be a problem in future. So I think it's very important to take note. And also maybe to have, I'm not sure whether the CGA has already reported to the Audit and Risk Committee in terms of what is it that is going to be done or what is it that they are doing in terms of what has been found by the committee. So there is timelines and showing intention to implement what needs to be implemented and progress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Boni. The opinion of the Audit and Risk Committee that the process undertaken by management in the annual report was unable to provide first level assurance on the fair presentation of the annual financial statements. Information necessary to verify the accuracy, completeness and validity of significant account balances and disclosures in the financial statements were not made available to internal audit and consequently to the audit committee. Remember that Chairperson of Audit and Risk?
Yes, Chair, we are aware of that.
The committee further reported that the management was unable to subject the report on actual performance against predetermined objectives. And statements were not made available. Predetermined objectives to an independent review. Accordingly, the committee was unable to comment on the usefulness and reliability of the actual performance reported against the selected indicators. Can you respond to that? So for us, those are red flags.
Thank you, Chair. If I may talk to that and give a background, perhaps. We requested of management prior to the submission deadline, which is 31st, that there be a process undertaken which will involve the review of the internal audit on the two accountability documents, that is the annual financial statement and the report on performance against predetermined objectives. So we were assured that this step, which was proposed by us, will occur, so it will take place. And internal audit to help with capacity appointed an external firm to assist on the exercise. And the management did assist in that appointment also, yes. However, closer to the date of reporting, the committee one was unable to receive a conclusive report from the reviewers as far as the financial statement is concerned. And this was delayed until late on the day of submission, which is 31 May. We had two meetings that were postponed because that exercise was not concluded. And then at the time we met, which was the last day, we then submitted our position to the accounting officer, indicating the challenges that has caused us to believe that the manner in which the process was undertaken did not afford us one time and an opportunity that will enable us to render a professional service to the CGE, in that we will comprehend what the reviewers' notes are and also have an opportunity to study the financial statement that was supposed to be submitted for audit, and then engage the then acting CFO and the CEO on any of our observation. So as far as the financial statement is concerned, that document went through this exercise, which I will say was not as per standard or expectation. But as far as the report on actual performance against predetermined objectives, we were not afforded sight of it in the manner in which we expected. However, we then honored the call to submit these documents, which management eventually handed over to the AG for audit. And we are happy that the AG did not detect material findings which could have led to an adverse position. However, we are concerned, as we have noted in our report, that the inability to afford the assurance providers, including us as the audit committee, an opportunity to deal with these documents was not okay at all. That's my submission, Chairperson.
Okay, yeah, done.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. If there's no further clarity seeking question, let's go straight to
My hand is up, Honorable Chair.
Okay, Masiko.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I know that it is the question that one could ask the CGE, but maybe it's also important to ask the opinion of the Audit and Risk Committee on this matter. And it's dealing with the issue of the opinion on the 14 findings from the Audit Action Plan of 2020-2021, which are incomplete and they are long outstanding. This is a matter of concern to us as a Portfolio Committee, Honorable Chair, and should also be one of a concern to the Audit and Risk Committee. I just need to check their opinion on this matter, though one will also the CGE as to why we still have 14 findings from the Audit Action Plan as incomplete and outstanding. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I believe the Honorable Masiko has got it right. Yes, I think the management team is better placed to give a good answer to the reason why some of the body findings were not attended to as a close of the previous financial year. However, one can also note that there are preconditions in dealing with certain findings, and approvals ought to be sought elsewhere to respond to certain things. And at times, that process is not concluded within a short period of time to enable the desired action that responds to the audit finding. So without just speaking to a particular one or a particular matter, I will ask that the chair allow Honorable Masiko to obtain a response to this from management, if that response is available. Thank you, John.
Honorable members, I think we've lost the chairperson again, but I do, chairperson of ARC, have a follow-up, Mr. Mashaba, on the response that you have just given. I think it should also be a worry to us honorable members that the Audit and Risk Committee ought to be monitoring progress in this regard. If there are audit findings that that CGE needs to action in terms of the action plan, then it's the duty also of the Audit and Risk Committee to properly monitor the implementation of the audit action plan itself. It cannot be that Mr. Mashaba, when we are asking, it becomes a concern to you, and CGE must respond. But we must also hear from your side as to what the Audit and Risk Committee has done in relation to keeping track of the implementation plan by the department, and whether or not, sorry, not the department, CGE, and whether or not they are keeping to their timeframes according to the dates that have been given on the audit action plan itself, and when the tasks will be done. Mr. Masabane, do you have a response to that?
Yes, Honorable Masiko, I do submit that it is a concern for us when certain actions are not implemented timely on audit findings, I do accept that the monitoring ought to come from us, and it does come from us. I think these are submissions which we deal with as part of our work as the audit committee, and some of the recommendations which we submit to plenary, which I believe also come to this PC, deals with those findings from the auditors. However, if I may be allowed to deal with these specific findings and how we have resolved on each, I can then make the submission perhaps after this meeting in writing.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mashabane. We'll take it as that, and we'll await the written response to this specific part of your report. Honorable members, and yes, Honorable
Mpiti. Very good morning to all honorable members. I'm not happy with that response at this point in time. So can we at least get an overview of what is the response of the Audit and Risk regarding, you know, these findings? I mean, to simply just say that we'll send a response in writing when we needed to have received that response by today. You know, we needed to receive this information already. So why is this information not already present? Why must we wait? Because we're dealing with this issue at the moment. So I just need clarity on that.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, the Honorable PT. I think I do also share your concern, though I would have also liked the department to CGE to express themselves on this matter. But Mr. Mashabane, do you possibly have just a brief overview, and not the fact that you are sharing a concern on this matter together with us as a portfolio committee? Honorable PT is right that maybe it for us it's just not enough that you share that concern, but just briefly, what is the view of the Audit and Risk Committee on that? Because for me, Honorable PT, it's a concern on the monitoring and the tracking and tracing systems of the Audit and Risk Committee themselves, that we should also, as a committee, place a concern on if we are having issues such as 14 outstanding matters on the action plan itself, and they are just expressing a concern. For us, it's also a concern that they would respond in this manner. Mr. Mashaban.
Thank you. Thank you again, Chair. The reason I requested to perhaps deal with each of the findings was so I'm able to give context as to what our position was and do so in writing. However, as far as matters that relate to non-compliance issues, we have stressed the need to one, formulate a compliance universe which will be used as a monitoring tool for the CGE, so we are able to track how far we are complying and how we are preventing future non-compliances before the Auditor General picks those. So this is basically as an overview or as a response tool to the issue of non-compliances. And the committee has proposed that let's have a compliance universe which will be used as a tracking tool. But I do accept that perhaps it's not a matter that we have thoroughly reported on in our report. And I request again that we are afforded extra time to then inform the PC of our position and how we have on each proposed and monitored the work that management is putting in place or the lack thereof.
Oh, okay. Honorable members, I do request that probably for the sake of progress, let us grant the request by the Audit and Risk Committee so that we're able to get a detailed report on this matter. Let us then proceed to take the presentation from the Commission on Gender Equality and welcome the chairperson to take to the responsible official or individual who will be making the presentation. Over to you, chairperson. Chairperson, you are muted, or I don't know whether it's me who can't hear you.
Masigo,
yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's the chairperson of CGE that I cannot hear.
Your network is bad, guys.
Chair, you are audible. Chairperson or portfolio committee. It's the chairperson of CGE that has a problem with sound. Honorable Peter, I see that your hand is up. Honorable Mpiti, is there a legacy
head? Thank you, Honorable Masigo. Sorry, I just want to go back to this point because perhaps it's my understanding that is a bit confused, but in every quarter there's meetings that take place. And so how are we keeping track of these particular actions? And I just fear at this point in time that surely when these meetings take place, there's, conversations between audit and risk, as well as the management to understand these issues. And so for me, I just don't think it's acceptable to simply just say, we'll report, at the next meeting or we'll send, a written report. This should have been put already in the report, because then I question the legitimacy of the meetings between audit and risk and the management. The whole point of having an audit and risk committee is to be able to look at these interventions that are either not working or not taking place. And so for me, just to simply, you know, just say that, you know, just to be really relaxed about it is unacceptable at this point. So I don't think as a committee we can really accept that explanation. At least on my side, I do not accept it. And I think we need to really be quite clear on this. The function of audit and risk is a very important one. And, you know, the way that it's being handled at this point is really, really not acceptable in my view. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think Honorable Mpithi, one must share your concern, and I've raised that before, that we honestly do share the concern with you. And I think we have expressed to Mr. Mashabane that as a portfolio committee, we are not accepting his response. And it is of greatest concern to us as a portfolio committee that he would give us such a response to such a critical matter on the monitoring of the implementation of the audit action plan. And especially because, you know, it's not even one of the current or the past financial years. It's from the 2020-2021 financial year. But I'm saying that because I think right now he wants to give us a detailed plan, maybe let us not push it to a next meeting or a written response. But once we've received the presentation from the department, we can allow him to give us a detailed a brief report immediately after the item on the CGE report or first quarter presentation. But I think as it stands right now, he wouldn't have that information as he has indicated. But let us give him time, probably an hour and a half or two. And then just before we end the meeting, we can request for the item to come back to the agenda. And then he gives us a brief presentation on this matter as an outstanding matter that or a question that he needs to respond to in detail. And I'm requesting that we do so, Honorable Peter, so that we are able to progress forward, because currently he has indicated that he needs to collate the information to respond appropriately to the question or the concern. I will then request that we proceed and give a CGE an opportunity to then render their presentation. I will request the chairperson again to come back to the platform, and I'm hoping that your sound is now sorted, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have changed my gadgets and I'm now on my cell phone. Thank you very much for your understanding, Chair. Let me send my greetings to the Honorable Chairperson of the Committee and to you, Honorable Masiko, and the members of the Portfolio Committee, the CGE. I think on behalf of the CGE, we send our greetings this morning. Yes, we will be presenting this morning to the committee, and our presentations will be in line with the expectations in the CGE Act as well as in the PFMA Act number 1 of 1996. This morning, Chair, we will be presenting the organizational report, and that organizational report basically is the organizational report that covers the period April to June 2022, and that is quarter
start
one.
With the issue, the report. Start with the issue of the CEO.
Yes, we will do that, Chair. And as we do that, we will also just be introducing. Oh, sorry. We will be introducing the people that will be presenting at this committee for the first time, Chairperson. And okay. let me just do that quickly, Chair, so that we know who will be presenting this morning. So it's my pleasure to introduce to the Portfolio Committee, the CGE Acting CEO, Dr. Thembi Nkosi Twalo, who has been appointed to take over from Ms. Jamela Robertson, whom we have been having a very long process that was looking at the performance arbitration process. And I think there was a letter that was sent to the chair as well as members of the committee notifying the chairperson that we have finally reached a settlement agreement with the CEO, or a separation agreement, if I can put it that way, with the former CEO, Ms. Ellen Robinson. So the acting CEO, Dr. Twalo, has formally taken over the responsibility to be the accounting officer for the Commission for Gender Equality. Chair, I'm also happy to announce that we have appointed the CFO successfully, and by the name of Dr. Antoinette Ngwenya, who will also be presenting the financial report for the Commission for Gender Equality. And we have welcomed both Dr. Thembi Nkosi Twalo and Dr. Ngwenya to the family of CGE, and I'm presenting them, both of them, this morning, and they will be presenting on these two reports, Chair.
Can they show their face, Chair?
Yes. Dr. Twalo, do you want to quickly show your face? And as soon as you're done, just introduce yourself. And once you're done, Dr. Ngwenya will come in and introduce herself. Thank you.
Morning, Honorable Chair. Can you, is it visible? Jesus.
Yeah, siyakubona manje. Siyabonga.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Sorry, Chair, you also wanted me to proceed with the presentation, or CFO should...
No, we wanted to see your face. We wanted to see your face.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we didn't want to hear what there's a new acting CEO. Wanted to see your face. It's okay. Wanted. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Can we request Dr. Antoinette Ngwenya to also do the same? Thank you very much. Through you, Chair.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. I hope I'm visible.
Yes, thank you very much, Antoinette.
Thank you.
Yeah, all welcome. Over to you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I think in the interest of time, I will not be saying a lot. I will straight away hand over to Dr. Twalo to present the organizational report. But before he does that, Chair, I had my hand up earlier just to record the apology of the deputy chairperson, who is currently on leave. So she's not with us today, Chair. She's on leave. I thought I should submit that, Chair. Thank you very much. And I would like to hand over to Dr. Twalo.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I just confirm if you can see my presentation?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Morning once again, and thank you for the opportunity to present the CGE's quarter one performance report. The first few slides are just giving an introduction as to who we are as the CGE. As you may know, that we are one of the chapter 9 institutions that is implemented to, sorry, that was established for the purposes of supporting the and promoting the constitution, focusing mainly on the issues of gender. And these are the strategic focus areas that we are seeking to have a society that is free from all forms of gender oppression and inequality. And our mission is to protect, promote, protect, monitor, and evaluate gender equality through research, public education, policy development, legislative initiatives, as well as effective monitoring and litigation. You will see these, how they are actioned out in the achievements that will be reported. I will skip the outcomes because I'll be going back and forth between these when I'm reporting on the achievements. With respect to the alignment of the CGE's work to the state of the national address, the National Development Plan, MTSF, we have these areas to which we are contributing. For instance, there's with respect to having a capable, ethical, and a developmental state, we as the CGE are working on several programs that are looking into issues of compliance with international and regional agreements relating to gender equality. And the specific programs are relating to the CEDAW and as well as Maputo Protocol and the SDGs as well. So with respect to our achievements, starting with outcome number one. Outcome number one is about an enabling legislative environment for gender equality. In this regard, we seek to evaluate legislation, policies, practices, and mechanisms within public and private institutions and make recommendations to bring about continuous improvements to advance gender issues. So the achievements in this regard is that the Act and the publication of the Free State Integrated Local Economic Development and Transformation Bill. So with respect to outcome two, we through information, education, and investigations and litigations, whose purpose is to conduct advocacy initiatives, public education, investigations, and litigations in promotion of gender equality and in the society free from gender discrimination. In this regard, the achievements were that there were four municipalities that were reached regarding the localization of SDGs. Through gender mainstreaming sessions and a quarterly report was submitted. There were more than 1,000 people that were reached and a quarterly report on public education outreach was compiled. 135,000 people were reached through community radio outreach and a quarterly report in this regard was also submitted. There were also 194 stakeholders that were reached through gender and development workshops. 61,281 people were reached through social media platforms and 18,827 people were reached through the website. So in total, there were 19,543 people that were reached through mainstream TV and radio and interviews. So this is the reach of the messaging that we had as the CGE. Coming to outcome number three, which is looking at monitoring and research investigations on issues that undermine the attainment of gender equality and women's empowerment. And the purpose of this in this regard is to identify and monitor key issues that impact on gender equality, to evaluate the contribution being made by role players, to make recommendations and undertake interventions to promote and attain gender equality. So the achievements in this regard were that there was a research agenda that was set as target for quarter one. And there were four concept notes that were produced. One was a gender responsive budgeting monitoring evaluation auditing framework. The second one was a concept note on assessing government's implementation of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. As there was also another one on sexual and reproductive health rights, and as well as a proposal on the Women's Empowerment Project that was produced, including the Maputo Protocol and gender focal point concept notes that were produced and finalized. And the fourth outcome is looking into having an efficient, effective, and sustainable organization that promotes good governance. And our perspective of context and that there were policy reviews for the adoption by the management committee MENCO, and there's also a process for the review of organizational processes that is underway that was commenced from quarter one. There was also an upgrade of the system, the SAGE system and caseware systems. There's also the revival of the HR system, HR Premier, that is also in progress. There was also an effort made with respect to the tools of trade, particularly laptops. So these are some of the things that are done to ensure that the systems in the organizations in the organization are effective and efficient as well. With regard to complaints that were received, the diagram herein shows the complaints that were received that were attended to by our legal department. We see that most of the pending cases at this stage are in Gauteng. These are cases that are under investigation, and the province with most open cases was Limpopo, there in blue. And for Limpopo, we also have several cases that were addressed to their finalization. So this diagram is just giving us a picture of the complaints and the milestones reached and the status with respect to this in this particular province. Further details regarding the complaints is that most of the gendered complaints reported include gender-based violence, gender discrimination practices, issues of maintenance, and issues of sexual offenses. And there is also a considerable attempt in rural areas to mediate gender-based violence cases, including rape cases. There was an observation made that the perpetrators continue to violate the victims with protection orders issued against the perpetrators. And the results of the killings of victims who are largely women. Thirdly, most of the perpetrators often commit suicide after violating the protection order. And one of the challenges still remains to be the issue of DNA, which is a somewhat of a hindrance to access to justice for victims of gender-based violence. So in conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, we have enjoyed fruitful partnerships with our stakeholders, and we have made strides in the execution of our mandate. The national and provincial partnerships have widened across different sectors, in institutions of higher learning, civil society organizations, and and other endorsements executing the mandate of the commission. So at this point, Honorable Chair, I would like to hold the presentation and perhaps request the CFO to take us through the financial report with your permission. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm hoping the presentation is showing, but please let me know if it's not.
We can hear you.
But can you see the presentation?
Yes.
Thank you. I will be taking you through the finance report quarter one, which comprises of the period from April to June. As the Audit Committee Chairperson reported earlier on, that we have received all our allocations for the period April, May and June, and the annual allocation was increased to about 100.7 million, which was a 16% increase of 10.2 million. And now with the quarter one started very slowly and we couldn't spend all the received allocations, and we have developed an expenditure improvement plan to make sure that we monitor it and spend according to the planned activities. And so far we are doing well, but we haven't yet achieved all our targets in terms of appointing all the vacant positions that needs to be filled as we go along. The surplus that we recorded was of 6 million, and it was mainly because of the vacancies. And we have advertised about seven positions currently. On the 4th of September, we've advertised the CEO's position, and on the 11th of September, we've advertised HOD legal, as well as policy and research admin, legal officers times two, as well as the office assistants in the Pretoria office. So we are hoping that, and we are currently also conducting interviews for deputy director's positions, and we have appointed researchers in the research unit as well. So it's the plan is going well. We just need to manage it as we go along. And on the revenue side of it, the whole 25 million was received. And out of the 25 million, we have received an interest income from the bank of about 245,000 rand. The expenditure patterns for the quarter under review, in total, we managed to spend 17.8 million for the 3 months in question. And it is a bit slightly higher than what we've spent in the previous financial year's first quarter, but it's just a 200,000 difference. And as I indicated earlier on, recruitment process is underway and we are just having a bit of a challenge with the staff turnover that is tending to counter our gains that we're making with the appointments. However, the turnover rate is a bit low and it's manageable. We also planned various projects that we have undertaken. Second quarter has been very busy with the SAPF launch that was done in end of June, beginning of July. The 25-year anniversary event was also undertaken in August. We've done some training on SAGE system as well as the SCM bids and training for all our staff members. We have also received an invoice for the GCIS, the radio slots 2.1 million, as well as the AG's invoice of about 1.3 million. And we've conducted a business model last week event also contributing to our spending. So it's quite looking good in terms of quarter three. There'll be a vast difference compared to the quarter one in question. And all the planned projects are being implemented accordingly. Everybody is busy just to make sure that we deliver according to the mandate. Looking at our income statement for the respective periods, in the month of April, you will see that we spent, our spending was quite low. It was mainly just salaries of 3 million. And in May, we increased our spending to about 8 million. And in June, 6 million, respectively. So adding up to that 17 million. The balance sheet items for our property, plant and equipment, it was adding up to 8.1 million. And the current assets, 39 million. With our current liabilities with 5,000 and net total liabilities sitting at 11 million. In total, our net assets adding up to 28 million. Our net asset position increased to the 28 million from the 24 million compared to the previous financial year. And it was mainly due to the surplus in question that we supposed to be making a submission to Treasury by end of September to outline the activities that we're planning to spend it on. And our assets are exceeding our liabilities. So in terms of our solvency ratio, we are sound and are a going concern. As I indicated earlier on, our cash and cash equivalent, they're adding up to 29 million and part of it being the 12 million that Treasury might take if they're not convinced about our submission, but we are positive that we are making gains to make sure that we plan realistically so in terms of how are we going to be spending it. On the receivable side of it, as at end of June, we had prepayments totaling to the 60,000, which were mainly due to the software licenses, VIP Castel antivirus, as well as legal library, the Lexis and Nexus, as well as Caseware, Microsoft Software Azure and Office 35. Inventories are adding up to about 69,000 and we account for them accordingly with all the registers in place. Our non-current assets are mainly being the property, plant and equipment adding to the 8.7 million as compared to previous periods. There's a slight increase of about 0.5. And our vehicles, equipment, office furniture also included in the amount. And we also have tangible assets in terms of software. Liabilities, they all adding up to the 11 million in question as detailed on the statement of financial position. Corporate management side of it, supply chain with the demand management, all our activities that we're planning to procure items in this financial year, we incorporated them into a procurement plan, especially the ones that are exceeding 500,000. And the plan is detailed as follows. We just took out the amounts just to make sure that we the presentation is visible enough, but mainly to indicate that the radio advertisement on the national and radio slots, the invoice has already been received from GCIS, and we'll be processing it to the amount of about 2.1 million within the next 2 weeks. And knowledge management system, as well as the internet and ticketing, they are out on tender, and we will be appointing in the next 3 months. And appointment of panel of attorneys, the tender is closed. It is undergoing the bid evaluation process, and it will ultimately go to the adjudication, and then we will award. Insurances and commissioners projects are also included. Some of them are the two that I reported earlier on that were undertaken, being the anniversary as well as the SAPS launch. Coming to the last portion of the procurement plan, the VoIP Vodacom system that we are using through the transversal contract, and the outreach reporting system that we currently working on, and we're hoping that it will be concluded in the third quarter. And we also invited the service providers to assist us during the May period when we're about to submit the AFS to review our AFS after we've compiled them internally. They did so, and it amounted to about 65,000. Asset management, in total, we've spent 1.1 million for the first quarter on various items relating to our assets. And we also worked on the content creation camera equipment for our communications department to make sure that our social media platforms are working effectively. Software upgrades were done mainly on the Sage system that we use for our financial system. We also bought about 35 laptops that we have those old laptops that are now problematic when it comes to working on 365. We are currently rolling them out and replacing them with the new ones that were recently procured. And we are intending to do the disposal process as we move along to the end of September, October period after we do the physical verification of all our assets and assessing the conditions thereof. Disposal management, as I've already alluded to the fact that we are planning to go to various provinces in this end of September, October, and do the physical verification of assets so that we can have a report that is informed by the assessment of the condition of all our assets and be able to then take a decision on those that are no longer in good condition, working condition, and then we will then present a report to the CEO for approval thereof. Contract management, we have a contract register in place that is managed at SCM site, and it is being reviewed on a quarterly basis. We inform the respective units or departments as when the contract is about to expire so that they take action in terms of deciding whether do they still need the service. If not, then we will then work throughout the contract in question to make sure that we do check all the terms and conditions if they are met. And if they still want to continue with the service, then we then go out on tender, just like the legal panel that we will continuously need to do, considering that our legal unit is not mandated to do the internal legal processes except the external one as mandated by legislation. Irregular expenditure, we're dealing them as we go along. We do not have fresh ones, but we have the ones that we are managing as disclosed on the AFS. And fleet management, all our fleet are fitted with tracker devices, and the staff members are trained on how to use the panic buttons, and we keep logbooks as required by our fleet management policy, and periodic inspections are also done. Facilities management, as we have an agreement with the Department of Public Works that they are assisting us with managing all our offices. We have quarterly meetings with them. The last meeting we had with them was in July, and we discussed various offices' challenges, lease agreements, and the likes. So far, it's manageable in a way that we know where we stand, and when the lease are about to expire, we continue to engage and make proper plans to make sure that everybody is accommodated accordingly. And on the risk management part of it, we have a risk register in place that is managed from the CEO's side of it, and we have a risk management committee that is comprising of all the HODs and some managers. However, at this point in time, as the audit and risk check person reported earlier on, that we don't have a risk management committee chairperson. However, the process of recruiting such an external member is in underway, and we are hoping that myself and the CEO and HR, we will be prioritizing and finalizing this process as soon as possible. When it comes to the compliance litigation claims and contingencies, looking at what we have currently, the list is not conclusive, but just to mention a few, the matter of the former employee that is with CCMA, it's still not yet finalized, and there is the matter of 17% remuneration that deals with the staff members as well, and our lawyers are managing the process, and the CEO will be engaging with the lawyers in the near future. I'm not sure of the exact date, but he is on top of this one to make sure that it's also resolved. And the matter of Commissioner Botha is also pending. It hasn't been finalized as far as I know. And there's also a surplus in question that I reported earlier on to say we are consolidating all the inputs that we received from the departments and from our last engagements at MENCO to make sure that our submission is finalized and submitted by the 30th of September on how are we planning to spend the surplus funds from the 2021-2022 financial year. On the external audit part of it, and the audit was, the AFS draft was submitted on the 31st of May, and they were audited in June and July, and the audit was finalized by end of July, and we received an unqualified audit opinion. We have recently finalized our audit action plan, the new one. We have a lot of recurring audit findings that when you look at the new audit action plan and the 2020-2021, some of them is like mirrored in a way because they are recurring or repetitive. However, we have all committed to make sure that we deal with them, we manage them on a monthly basis, and we report at MENCO on the progress versus the challenges that we're experiencing as we go along. Thank you. That's the end of my presentation. Hi, Chair. I'm done now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. Can I get hands from honorable members for clarity seeking questions? You know, namhlanje I'm very disadvantaged by my gadgets. I see the hand of honorable Masondo. There's no other hand that I see, honorable members, unless my gadget is telling me, giving me wrong information. I see the hand of honorable Masiko. Any other hand, honorable members? I see the hand of Honorable Ngobo, Honorable Sherif. So it will be Masondo, Masiko, Sherif, Babu Ngobo. Who else? Pony? Songo, Piri? Sonyane? Mpiti, in that order, honorable members.
Thank you,
Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, CGE and our officials. I would like to welcome the presentation presented to us today. I have just a few questions. There are incomplete findings, yes. Now, how did the various subcommittees chaired by commissioners allow these findings to be incomplete? What can the CGE's program reveal for quarter one of 2022-2023 insofar as government's goals outlined in the NDP, MTSF and SONA of 2021? Has the CGE been able to address any of the outstanding targets of 2021-2022 and its impact on quarter one of 2022-2023? Which of these 18 administrative positions were not filled by the end of quarter one of 2022-2023? And what if any additional vacancies arose? What are the vacancies at present? How have the vacancies impacted on the CGE's performance? What is the plan going forward to deal with the vacancies? What vacancies are expected to be filled in quarter one of 2022-2023? Then I come to the ICT. What is the overall assessment of the work undertaken by commissioners during quarter one of 2022-2023? What are the key challenges that were identified? How best can these concerns be addressed? What, if any, have the key challenges been the commissioners have experienced during the quarter under review? With the term of four commissioners coming to an end in October 2022, what are the plans to deal with handover reports and the annual report for 2021-2022? How does the CGE assess the performance of commissioners for a financial year? The last one, does the report on commissioners' attendance from 2019 to 2022 that dovetail with the progress report performance information for commissioners submitted every quarter to the committee? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Let me proceed because I think maybe Chairperson is also still experiencing network challenges. I wish to draw the attention of the Commission on the, as a follow-up matter, in fact, to the BRR report on 2021. We do understand that even though the committee would be dealing with the 2022 BRR report, it is still important, Honorable Chair, that we are able to establish whether CGE has been able to implement all of the recommendations that the committee made for the BRR 2021. And we still do believe that they, as much as they would have responded, but it's important for us to check on whether or not there are any outstanding matters on some of the key issues. And I would like to draw the attention to some of the issues, Chairperson, that I think are important as part of the resolutions of or the recommendations of the BRR 21. The first one relates to the issue of, in terms of finances. If we could focus on the surplus funds, the CGE had to report back to the committee at the quarter two 2021-2022 briefings on the progress made in requesting National Treasury to retain an estimated 6.9 million surplus funds that was on occurred. So in relation to those surplus funds, One would like to know whether or not they were retained. If they were, if not, why not? And if yes, how are the funds being utilized currently by CGE if they were able to retain those surplus funds? In terms of governance, we had made a recommendation that CGE should strengthen its internal governance processes and the role of a company secretary should be explored as an interface between plenary and the secretary. Company secretary has been raised in a number of the meetings that we've had with CGE. But what I would like to know is what is the latest on that relating to human resources. The committee had recommended that CGE conducts exit interviews as a means of understanding why staff leave in order to question of management. We, as a committee organization, it is important for an understanding to be or how many exit interviews have been conducted and what were the key outcomes of those conducted.
Recording in progress.
To us as a committee and I'd like to know what is the status of that policy. Lastly, on the issue of the BRR 2021, the area dealing with commissioners, the CGE had to provide a report to the committee about the attendance of commissioners at committee meetings and what is expected of part-time commissioners for attending meetings. We requested that report. So one would like to know whether or not that report would has been submitted. The last issue, Honorable Chairperson, that one would like to ask is around the issue of the core programmatic issues around the issue of forced sterilization on HIV positive women. We do understand that initially CGE had noted that the terms of reference have been developed for follow-up on systematic investigations on forced sterilization. So now one would like to know what do these terms of reference entail if the process of drafting those terms of reference has been completed. One would like to stop there, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I won't be long. I've mostly been covered. I just wanted to raise a concern around how long it takes for reports to come to the portfolio committee. There are still a number of outstanding reports that we are waiting for, and I just wanted to find out what is the plan to speed those up. The second thing is, Chair, the CGE's role in terms of monitoring and evaluating government's implementation of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide is something that really needs to, you know, be taken in a way that is, you know, looked at all the time. It's not just enough to do a report about it, and then leave it at that. I think it's important to continuously do oversight to government departments to ensure that they are indeed implementing the National Strategic Plan and what are the outcomes of the implementation happening currently and so far. Chair, the next thing I wanted to raise with the CGE is my issues around looking specifically at the cases that come to the CGE. Oftentimes I send cases to the CGE and people come back to me and say the CGE hasn't been responsive or they feel that this case isn't worthy of taking forward. And I just want to get the understanding and thinking behind why that is the case, and how do we then make sure that cases of gender is being taken up by the CGE and is being followed up continuously so that something does happen at the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have three questions for the CGE. The first one is under strategic outcome number one, in terms of the court's monitoring. So the CGE has noted that only the Free State, Western Cape, Northern Cape, and KZN responded to the questionnaires. So I just want to find out from the CGE if they know the reasons why other provinces did not respond to their questionnaires, and if the CGE has made any follow-up. The second one is under strategic outcome number two, regarding the decisions that the CGE had with the municipalities in regarding the sustainable development goals through gender mainstreaming. So I just want to know which of the four municipalities that the CGE had sessions with, and what were the outcomes of this session. And the last one is I just want to find out how the CGE determines the effectiveness of sessions or workshops, especially in a situation where they have more than 100 stakeholders. So how does the CGE assess the impacts that they are making through these workshops? Thanks.
Thank you, honorable members. I think three questions as well. The first one really through the chairperson, and I'd really like to understand, is around the CEO. So it is my understanding that the CEO is acting in his capacity as the CEO. And, you know, what is surprising me is that he's being made to account on quarter one whilst he was not even there. So I'm just a bit worried that, you know, some questions that we'll pose, he will not be able to answer because he was not the CEO or the acting CEO at the time. So I just need to get some clarity on that particular situation. I think it's obviously unfair in my eyes that he's being made to account, having only been and I also just wanted to understand that previously he was the head of research, the head of research unit. Is there a head of research as it stands in the CGE, or is that position still vacant? The next question that I want to ask has been covered in regards to the handover process by the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. I'm sure they will explain that particular issue. and then I just wanted to ask in regards to the oversights that we conducted as a committee together with commissioners. Have there been any follow-ups regarding these oversight visits in the Northwest and in the Gauteng province? What type of actions have taken place since those oversight visits? Because there were quite outstanding issues. One being the issues that were pointed out by honorable members, two, the issues that were discovered in those particular offices that we had visited. What type of interventions have been made around those particular issues? I also would like to understand regarding the complaints within CGE. I think one thing, you know, that has consistently been a concern for me since 2019 has been around complaints. And one of the issues that we raised during the oversights was the fact that there were not a lot of complaints that were actually being received by CGE, and we wanted to have an understanding as to why that was happening. You'll remember that we noticed that in KZN, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, there were zero complaints that were received, which is obviously concerning because we do know the high levels of gender-based violence in the country. We have seen the crime stats being released not so long ago around gender-based violence. So it's quite alarming that the CGE doesn't receive any complaints around these issues. So I would like to understand what exactly is the prognosis on that. Has the CGE been able to understand what exactly is the reason that that is taking place? We also noted the fact that Mpumalanga recorded its first gender-based violence complaint in quarter one after 6 months. You know, and I think commissioners really should be concerned about this because, you know, it for me, it's an observation that either shows that, you know, CGE is either not penetrating communities to, you know, who can actually go to CGE for assistance, or people just don't know about the CGE. And so, you know, one needs to understand why is this the situation? You know, the complaints that are received, to what extent do those people receive assistance? And to what extent do closed cases or closed complaints, to what extent are they resolved? What is the spectrum to understand them being resolved, I think is one of the most important things. So can I just get some clarity on that? And obviously we understand that there's quite a number of vacancies, particularly in terms of senior management. I think this continues to be a concern for myself as a member of the portfolio committee. I'd really like to understand, is there a plan as to when these vacancies will be filled? And also putting this comment together with my first question around the acting CEO is that at the appointment of the acting CEO, who or how many other senior management managers were in place? So at the time of the appointment, were there no other senior managers that were there? And I ask this because I'm just worried in terms of the different roles that are currently vacant. Who is actually assisting the acting CEO in terms of senior management? And, you know, I ask this question because institutional knowledge is important for a Chapter 9 institution like the CGE. You know, that institutional knowledge, you know, regarding the issues that CGE has faced is going to be very important going forward. And so I wonder how many senior managers are actually assisting the CEO currently with, you know, that historical knowledge, which is vastly important. Are there senior managers to do that at the current moment? I think that's really something that is quite a concern to myself. And obviously I ask this because, you know, the CEO has not spent that much time in the CGE. It's my understanding that he served as head of research for about 10 weeks before he was appointed as the acting CEO. So these questions are fundamentally important for the latitude of the CGE going forward. And so I wouldn't want him to be set up for failure. And so these questions really need to be answered so that we understand that the governance in terms of the management of the CGE is really fortified going forward. And you know, what needs to happen operationally does happen. But yeah, I will stop there for now, Honorable Masiko. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. I think I have two critical questions. One, in terms of the AG assessment or audit report on the annual report for the year 2020-2021, there were 14 findings that CGE was expected to come up with an action plan, and which action plan was to address the findings by the AG. And my understanding is that CGE must come up with that plan. And the ARC is supposed to be monitoring that plan on whether is it implemented effectively and efficiently, or what is happening, and when they do their audit and they are able to monitor whether CGE, the administration CGE, is implementing the plan accordingly. And from the look of things, I don't know whether there is improvement, there is a plan, and if there is a plan, why are we still receiving reports that does not show progress? You know, my worry with CGE is that you are very slow in most of the things. You are where you are today with the issue of the CEO, and you were found wanting, because every time when you are supposed to act on things, including the issue of Commissioner Day and Commissioner Botha and other matters that you are expected to be acting swiftly as soon as possible, but it's like you are very, very slow. The willingness to do things from the administration side, and I'm not sure whether it's even in I must also include the governance structure, that you find yourself sometimes not even I think on Monday I was even talking to Dr. Tembe regarding your handbook, which you've been saying you are revising it for a very long time. At some stage, in one of the meetings, we did ask you about the revised handbook, and we wanted Dr. Tembe to check some of the things. And the handbook that Dr. Tembe was given was the old one, which to me, it leaves one with a question mark. Okuti, are you serious about the work that you're supposed to be doing as an institution? Or what is it that you're doing? Coming to your cases, the recordings of the cases that you have dealt with, still even they, the work that you've done is very little. What is even worse, you haven't even appointed the head of legal till to date. I know for a fact that the last meeting we held with you when the CEO was here, we have raised most of the questions that honorable members are raising today. It's issues that have been raised with you before. our expectations is that after the portfolio committee meetings, you go back, especially full-time commissioners. You are full-time commissioners to do the job. You are expected to be doing the job every day. You earn what you're working for. And it must translate to production. But looking at the rate of which you are doing things in your organization, I think, honestly speaking, you are not doing your work according to expectations. I wrote a letter to the chairperson, I'm sure last week, if not last of last week, asking the chair to give me a report on the attendance of commissioners to plenary meetings, subcommittee meetings, so that we get an understanding. You know, when you are a chair, you are championing, you are leading the work that is done by the portfolio committee. And when I read your report as a chairperson, then that, when I see how you are performing, what is even worse, you are underspending and you are underfunded. What does that mean to National Treasury and to us as members of the portfolio committee? How do we advocate for you to be given more funds when you are failing to spend the little that you have in some of your programs? You know, you have appointed a panel of lawyers, if I may say, lawyers or law firms. But in terms of what influences you to appoint that panel, you know, I was trying to explain to honorable members that maybe you appoint a panel of law firms because you feel you can see that you have a backlog of work, things that your legal team must focus on, and the things that are coming from outside. I was even saying to honorable members, the issue of legislation in terms of your mandate, since we have started, I have not seen any legislation that you have proposed so that maybe in a form of a bill, whether being presented by the Department of Women or by us, as a portfolio committee, so far in terms of us, if we are to assess your performance in terms of monitoring the gaps regarding legislation, we haven't proposed any legislation to us. And I know for a fact that you are not lawmakers, but where there's a gap, I think to address the inequalities and other things that are your core functions or core mandate as an institution, you by now, before the end of your other commissioner's term of office, you should have brought something that we as the portfolio committee can pride ourselves and say, at least this is your legacy. You came up with this one, including the one of 50-50 gender parity to be a policy, a government policy, not being a one-party policy, because we saw a need, so that even yourself and the Department of Women, you are able to go even to private sector and raise issues that you see that they need to be attended to. But so far, I don't see that. And I'm raising all these things because I was looking at your quarter one performance, and I feel strong that looking on how we have performed in quarter one, that on its own, it tells us that you are going to have a very big challenge. So we will be expecting at the end of financial year that the AD will be raising many issues. I'm not even sure whether you are going to get an unqualified report with no matters of emphasis, looking at the rate in which you have performed in quarter one. So I'm raising these things, Chairperson and commissioners, so that, you know, even if some of you, your term of office is lapsing, but the expectations is that you should not leave the institution with a workload which may you should have done dealt with for the new coming commissioners. We want to request you that fast track all the cases that you are supposed to have been finalized by now, so that new commissioners, when they come in, they will focus on other things that you haven't done, especially in ensuring that those senior management positions are being filled. It cannot be correct that such an institution has not been able to fill positions that are critical in an organization for more than 2 years. More than 2 years. It's not correct. So I want to also talk to the new officials that we have given responsibility. The acting CFO, the acting CEO, and the CFO, that, you know, when you take over, just check each and everything and do and programs that are there, including listings. You know, sometimes when I look at things the way they are done in CGE, you know, you leave one with suspicions sometimes, Ruthie. What is it that is happening in CGE? You know, today I was even thinking of speaking, and you know, yonke into yenu nje kugcwele abapossible society organization, namhlanje this, namhlanje that, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves, kwenzakalani, mhlambe abanye bayathunywa ukuthi mababhale izinto ngathi babhale bakhulume ngeatheni mara bafake ubuso bakache. Yonke lento leyo, it's just blackmailing. And the committee must be co-opted to wrong things all the time. You know, because maybe we disagree with some other things. And also with this thing that civil people are talking about, I don't know whether they want, what are you dealing with, whether we are reviewing into your sex workers or what, I don't know, but please, whatever you are doing, you must finish everything that you are doing. Don't prolong things. We want to deal with issues that are raised with us in a manner that is satisfactory and it's not questionable. We need to have processes that are credible. If Nina, you are revising, revise any day. Listen, Abuya, get in a presenter as portfolio committee, and next we look at your report and support you where we need to support you, not support you where you don't deserve to be given that support, but try to work as much as you can. Please. Over to you, Chairperson, and your administration and the other commissioners if they want to add other things. This one of Amal cases, you are having out a backlog of cases. And you need to have a plan on how are you going to deal with all these cases that are outstanding for such a long time. I thought that when I saw that you are trying to appoint a panel of lawyers or law firms, I'm sure one of the things that you're going to do is to deal with those outstanding cases. But Njeguchi, every time we are pile, it's not on. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members, for raising questions. Chair, I will respond to some of the questions, and some are administrative questions that we will look at the best way possible to respond to those questions. Chair, I want to start with the question about the building where our offices are at in provinces. And I think this question was asked you by you, Chair, in terms of who do these buildings belong to and how do we look at issues of lease agreements? And just clarify there very quickly, Chair, to say that all our offices in provinces, including the headquarters or the head office in Bloemfontein, all of those buildings and the offices that we currently occupy belong to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. So this is the arrangement and the lease agreements that we have signed with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and all our buildings have those lease agreements, Chair. And these lease agreements, Chair, are reviewed timeously and reviewed but also renewed timeously, Chair. And I think we have had a conversation internally. And I know that some of the conversation that we have had previously also came from the oversight visit that we had. And I think we were in the Northwest office where there were some concerns in terms of accessibility of some of our provincial offices in terms of people able to access the offices for CGE. We have looked at that, Chair. And if I can just quickly appraise the portfolio committee that from the Northwest, there was a task team that was developed, Chair, to look at the buildings that are currently occupied by CGE. And that task team was made out of the commissioners that you saw in Northwest Province, all of them, I think the three of them, as well as the staff members, and the lead driver of that process was one of the senior manager, Mr. Rabu Ralitsima, who was tasked to develop a report chair, look at each and every office in terms of the lease, where the lease is currently, look at accessibility, look at issues of safety, look at a number of things, Chair, that was done, and that report was presented at plenary, Chair, and we are currently looking at implementing some of the recommendations that were taken at plenary about the current status of our lease agreements and the current status of some of the buildings that we currently occupy. Because I think it's really worrying commissioners as well as administration in terms of where we are. And unfortunately, we also realized that some of the lease agreements in offices where we don't even want to be have recently been signed. So I think we are looking at all of that, Chair, and we are currently in negotiation with some of the offices and lease agreements signed in some of the offices where we felt that we are not safe. For an example, if you look at the Mpumalanga office, I know that we are currently in engagement with the public, with the Department of Public Public Works there, as well as some of the technicians that are currently looking at the safety of that building, because it's not safe to operate from that building. So, and again, we are negotiating the lease agreement to be looked at, and if we can be released from that kind of arrangement as soon as possible, because we are thinking of the safety of staff and we are thinking of the safety of commissioners. I think the same goes to other offices, Chair. So the status of these offices we have really looked at and currently really discussed that in detail in the recent plenary. Let me move away from the status, Chair, because I think we are taking care of that, and go back to the filling of vacant positions, Chair. And I know that perhaps CEO, if acting CEO, can come in if he feels he can come in, but I know that there was a status report given also by the CFO. But I will speak to the critical positions that include the senior management, Chair. Let me start with the outstanding positions, especially the position of the HOD legal that has been standing vacant for 2 years, as well as the position of the PEI, HOD PEI, that has been standing vacant for a long time. We have had discussions, Chair, and we have agreed between commissioners and the administration, as well as the HR unit, that these positions must be filled as a matter of urgency. And what we have done, Chair, I'm sure you must have seen the last week's newspapers, the position of the HOD legal has actually been advertised. And we are hoping that we will fast track the recruitment of the HOD legal, because it, you know, that the absence of the HOD legal really impacts on a number of issues that you have raised, honorable members, in terms of cases, how these cases should be finished, and who should actually monitor the work of the legal officers in provinces in terms of making sure that these cases are brought to finality, and there are cases that come in other provinces as well. So we are prioritizing that one, Chair. And we have been in communication with the Deputy Chair, Dr. Moliko, and I'm hopeful that if we can push enough, this coming weekend we will see a position of the HOD PEI being advertised. But what we are currently doing, Chair, before the end of October, is to make sure that when we exit, these positions are either towards finality, and there will be appointments that will be made as a matter of urgency. And that also speaks to the fact that we have decided that as soon as we finalize the settlement with the former CEO, we don't waste time, Chair. We quickly advertise the position. It was also in the last week's newspapers, so that we don't leave a gap within CGE. There is a process underway that will be followed, Chair, in terms of making sure that the CEO for the commission is appointed as a matter of agency. So that position of the CEO as well, Chair, was advertised in the last week's newspapers, weekend newspapers. So I think this is how we are really taking these matters seriously, Chair, in terms of really filling the vacant positions. And that also takes care of other positions as well, because if we talk about a unit that really has been suffering for a long time, the legal unit has really been having very few people in provinces. And I know that some of the adverts that have gone out also include the appointment of legal officers in some provinces. And there are interviews that have been underway during the month of July and August, and we are hopeful that some of those positions will be filled as a matter of urgency so that that unit can begin to operate effectively and efficiently as it is supposed to do. Chair, if I can just talk about the status of the policy, which is the current handbook, which is under review. Chair, we do acknowledge that this matter has been raised quite a number of times, and we have been reporting progress on this policy. However, we do acknowledge that it has been very slow, very slower than we anticipated. However, Chair, I want to say that the current policy, which is the handbook, and this policy is there to provide guidance and to regulate commissioners in the execution of their responsibilities, but also clarifying the interface with the secretariat in implementing the mandate of CGE. We are currently using the old handbook. As long as we haven't finalized and adopted the new policy, Chair, we are still using the old handbook, which is why the old handbook was also shared with Honorable Dr. Tembe, because that's the handbook that is currently in use whilst we are finalizing the handbook. Let me give the status of the review, Chair. The handbook was reviewed. It took almost 2 years for commissioners to review the handbook that was signed and was effective from the 12th of February 2013. So the commissioners took almost 2 years in reviewing this current policy, Chair, and it had a lot of gaps, Chair. And I think we really tried to do justice to the document, because it was also speaking to the current emerging issues that we see within CGE that were in the handbook and those that were not in the handbook. So that process was finalized, Chair. And beginning of the year, the handbook, and this was a recommendation of the audit committee, to actually subject the handbook to an external service provider for quality assurance. That was done, Chair. It came back in April to May from the external service providers. But when it came back, Chair, it came back easy, completely different animal that we had to deal with. It was, if I can put it in my language, it was something that we didn't even recognize, Chair. I think this is where we are. So it came back, Chairperson, in August, back to us, and we have been trying internally as commissioner to look at this handbook that has completely taken a different form and shape. And I think it's based on the understanding of the external service provider, and they have used quite a lot of issues that don't apply to CGE, but apply to other companies and much more skewed towards King 3 and King 4. But also I think they treated us as a company, as just a company, and the handbook was completely moved from its originality. So what we have done, Chair, since it came back from them, we have been meeting, and I think we have met twice, spending the whole 2 days, two separate days, trying to bring it back to where it is and for us to really understand what we're dealing with here. So this is where the handbook is. We have done quite a lot of work, quite a substantive work, and in really putting it back to its status where we will understand and where it will even help other generation of commissioners and administrators to really use this handbook. So where we are currently, Chair, is that I think we are left with only 12 pages towards the end. If you look at the handbook has appendices. The appendices of the handbook are speaking, there's Annexure A, which we have done. We are now finalizing on Annexure B. That talks about the code of conduct for commissioners. We are busy with the last pages, Chair, and I know that this is the work that we have. We are going to do next week, Tuesday, just to finalize the last few pages of the code of conduct. We are looking at the language that was used. We are correcting the languages. We are correcting a lot of things, Chair. It really created a lot of work for us. We never expected this. We were hopeful that we would be done by now. But Chair, just to reassure the committee, I'm hopeful that when we are done by next week, Tuesday, we will then be able to have finalized the handbook that we can proudly look at as the commission. And perhaps at some point, once it's approved internally, we will then be able to share the handbook with the honourable members of the portfolio committee, Chair. I think another issue that was raised by Honourable Mpiti that I thought I should respond to. I want to agree with Honourable Mpiti when he said that he thinks that it's unfair for the current acting CEO, who was appointed as the head of research, to be responding to the questions. I fully agree with you, Honourable Mpiti, and I think yesterday we had a very brief meeting to look at how best we can support the acting CEO in discharging his duties, but also in looking at how best we can respond, especially those that have been in the commission for a long time, to assist in responding to the questions that the honorable members are asking for. But let me also just indicate, Honorable Mpiti, that we are also concerned equally, but what we had to do was to appoint Dr. Twalo as the senior HOD in the institution to act as the CEO, and we made sure that he is supported by the existing or current senior managers. And I will just mention the portfolios of those current or existing senior managers. Within CGE, we have the CFO, who is one of the senior managers supporting the work of the acting CEO. And I know that even the current CFO is new, but I think the whole unit, the CFO and the unit that has been holding things together as the financial unit are currently assisting the CEO. So we have the CFO, we have the spokesperson of the Commission for Gender Equality, who is also very senior, with institutional memory in the organization, has been with the organization for a long, long time. He is very, very supportive in terms of supporting the work of the CFO, CEO and the CFO. And then we have the internal executive audit manager who is currently there and has been with CGE for a long, long time. And he is currently assisting in supporting the work of this acting CEO in discharging his responsibilities. We currently have the acting PEI HOD, who also has been with the organization position for a long time and has recently been appointed as the acting PEI HOD. He's very, very supportive as well. We also have a legal officer, very senior officer, who also has been helping the CEO in discharging his duties and understanding what is happening in the unit, in the legal unit as well. But I also want to say that the commissioners are there to also support the office of the chair, the office of the commissioners are there to assist the acting CEO. And I also want to indicate that MANCO, the people that I've been mentioning, make up what we call MANCO, which is a management a unit that is a meeting almost every week with the acting CEO just to bring him to speed with regards to other issues and make sure that they work and support him in his duties. And I must also just indicate that I was really happy to see how supportive they were last week when we had our business model session for 2 days. That was the 7th and 8th of September, and they were so supportive in terms of really assisting the CEO in understanding and looking at where we are and where we want to go as the organization, as we talk about organizational renewal and where we want to be in future. Also, we have provincial managers where a lot of work is happening. A lot of administrative work happens in 9 provinces where CGE has footprints. And in all these 9 provinces, we have what we call provincial managers. They used to be called provincial coordinators, but they are now called provincial managers because they are managers in their own right. They are very, very supportive when it comes to the work of the acting CEO, and I've actually seen them really assisting, and I know that in no time CEO or acting CEO will be visiting the provinces in terms of making sure that he understands the work that is done in provinces currently. And I know that the chairperson has also offered and commissioners to really assist take the CEO or the acting CEO to provinces. Last but not least, in the list of MANCO or senior managers at head office, we have the communications manager, very senior position as well. The manager is there also to assist with communications and assisting the CEO to understand how communications is working. And I think there's quite a lot of work that has been done as well in communications. I think some of the work we will be able to report about it in the next quarter when we are talking about how CGE is even featuring on the community radio stations. So there's quite a lot of work that is happening there at communications unit, and we have a senior person who is also assisting the acting CEO. I think that if I can just hold on there and go to another question that talks about, I think this question was asked by Honorable Sharif, who was asking a question around the outstanding reports for CGE. And I think there was also a question about whether CGE has been able to submit the report on attendance. Let me start with the latter, Chair. The report on attendance, Chair, the CGE received a letter on the 7th of September asking CGE to submit a report on commissioners' attendance as well as attendance to meetings. And the turnaround time was 1 day to do that work. We were asked to submit on the 8th of September. And that report, Chair, has been submitted. And I'm more than willing to talk to that report. However, I want to declare upfront, Chair, that when the request came in, we were at the strategic planning session looking at the business model. We then asked our PAs, which is our assistants, to develop a a template that was actually giving quite a lot of information, Chair, but I will be able to give a summary of what that template and the 47-page document that we submitted on Friday entails in a summary form, so that you understand the attendance of commissioners, where they are deployed in terms of attending to plenaries, but also attending to where they are deployed in terms of the oversight committees that are within CGE. I think I will be given an opportunity to just give a summary of that report, Chair. I think Honorable Sharif talked about CGE's monitoring role, monitoring government departments in implementing the NSP. Chair, I think the committee should acknowledge the fact that where CGE started, we started at the bottom. We started monitoring the ERAP, the emergency, the presidential emergency response action plan. I think that was where we started, Chair, and our work will not end there. So that report was shared. I know that we have presented to the portfolio committee in terms of monitoring the work of the department and how a lot of departments could not achieve during the 6-month period between 2019 period. And I also want to say that, Chair, that work will not stop, because we are looking at the next financial year. And I know that the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities are actually monitoring departments very closely, because they are receiving reports continuously from departments. What CGE will do will actually look at the first year of the implementation or the rollout of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, and look at all those reports that have been collected and look at what are they saying, so that we are able to make our own monitoring report and issue recommendations on how the NSP that was approved in 2021 has been rolled out by government departments and whether there are achievements there. The written responses. Chair, I would like to pause here for now. And if the CFO and the acting CEO are able to respond to some of the questions, I will give them that opportunity to do so. But Chair, again, I think it will actually go back to the initial request that where the CEO and the CFO are not able to respond to questions, upfront, Chair, I will request that we be given an opportunity to go back and sit down with the senior management and be able to submit a written response, given the fact that they may not be privy or have the answers at their fingertips currently, Chair, on some of the questions that have been raised. But I would give them the opportunity to respond to those that they can be able to. But Chair, where we are failing, we will sit down with the senior management and submit a written response. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My Honorable Masiko, there was something that she said to the audit and risk Chairperson regarding issues that were raised, of which he was not in a position to respond. I hope, I'm not sure, Chair, whether we are also referring to that or we are referring to your acting CEO, because I it's true that in some of the issues he won't be in a position to respond. But we, as the portfolio committee, can give him time, maybe 2 weeks, to come and respond, you know, so that we are fair to him, because it was not his responsibility. It was the the outgoing CEO was supposed to be accounting for all those things. I agree with yourself, Chairperson. But with regards to the new chairperson for the Audit and Risk Committee, I'm not sure which an hour that was given to him, he will be able to respond back to the committee. But let me hand over to you so that you can tell us who is going to respond, whether your commissioner or whether your administration. Chairperson?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm listening. I'm sorry. I did not understand the question, Chair.
It was not a question. It was not a question. I was saying I'm agreeing with yourself that maybe other things the acting CEO won't be in a position to respond to because he was not the CEO. But where he can be able to respond today, he can respond. But where he's not able to respond, we can give him 2 weeks and they will call you. Maybe it will be on a Friday so that you come back to the portfolio committee and respond to outstanding matters. Is that clear, Chair?
That is crystal clear, Chair. I would really appreciate, Chair, the opportunity given so that we are able to compile the response and come back in 2 weeks and respond to the questions, Chair.
Okay. And then the second one was with regards to the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee. Honorable Masiko raised something. She said she's giving him 1 hour to respond to some of the questions that honorable members have asked, and he was not in a position to give us a satisfactory answer. And Honorable Mpiti came in and say the answers he has given are not acceptable to the committee. And the chair, who is Honorable Masiko at that time, said, I'm giving you 1 hour to reconcile your information and come back and respond to the committee. What I want to check first with you, when was he appointed as the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee? Chairperson? Can anyone respond to that, Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, over to you, Chairperson. Chairperson? Tamara?
Chair? Yes. Chair, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes, Chair. I was saying we can give Chair to respond.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Over to you, Chairperson for Audit and Risk Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. thank you for the opportunity to account on the 14 findings that were not responded to satisfactorily, as is reported. I had requested so that I can be able to separate the matters and give the position in relation to each one. And what we have recommended or how we have followed on each as the Audit and Risk Committee. I do submit that the findings that are outstanding basically cut across four areas, one being the report on non-financial performance information and also matters of compliance with laws and regulations, issues that touches on governance, some internal control weaknesses and others that are related to HR-related transactions. There was this one matter, just to deal with it, Chair, in relation to the accuracy of information reported on performance indicator 1.3 and 1.4, which was reported then, and I do submit that though there were no material findings on the review of the Auditor General on outcome 2 in the recent audit, there are findings that were raised but are sitting in the management report that the AG had considered not material. That deals that basically were being supported by verifiable evidence or not being crafted in the annual report in the same manner as it is in the planning documents, therefore affecting the reliability and accuracy of that information. I think in our report we have submitted, Chair, that this matter has been concerning to us, and we have detected that the root cause thereof is the lack of structure and assigned resources to adequately monitor reports of performance against predetermined objectives. And I think Chair has read one of the paragraphs which we put forward where we were denied the opportunity to, on our own, look at this report and give a position thereon. However, during the year, we have asked internal auditor also to do an assessment of the accuracy and validity of the quarterly performance report. And these findings were brought to us. We engaged with management in the team then. However, we have detected the root cause that these findings are because of the lack of assigned resources to ensure that on an ongoing basis, the credibility of this performance information is tested before it goes to all the authorities, including the audit committee, plenary, and the oversight committees. So on the findings in relation to performance information, our position is that the accounting officer must put in place and assign dedicated resources to one monitor that performance reported matches to the planning documents, and that performance reported agrees to the source document. So this is our position and our recommendation, and I think we have included that in our report as the audit committee. And then the other matter I need to move to, Chair, is the issue of scope limitation on the internal audit unit. So this is the matter the former chairperson of the ARC dealt with, and it is my understanding that it was also discussed with the chairperson of plenary, where we highlighted our concern on the limitation that is imposed on internal audit. And in our response, we sought to emphasize the importance of unrestricted access to internal audit. Hence, when we looked at the internal audit charter, we then ensured that there is a section that deals with access. So a section that deals with the provision of access to internal audits on all personnel, on all information, on all resources that be at the CGE that are relevant to executing the approved internal audit plan. So the charter provides for that, and that's one thing we have emphasized. And then the other things that the committee took position of was the need to address governance at the CGE. We proposed as a committee, and it's something that our former chairperson of ARC did advance, that the entity look at how we improve the structures or the entity, I mean, it's called the functions that carry certain authorities, looking at what is required of each per the Public Finance Management Act, per the CGE handbook, and per the principle of governance. So we eliminate clashes, which perhaps justified by these documents, but creates some ineffectiveness on ensuring accountability. So when we understood this area at the time it was brought to our attention, we then says we propose that the CGE do what we call a governance review to ensure that there is an alignment between the Public Finance Management Act and the role of the accounting officer, which recognizes the CEO as the accounting officer in terms of the PFMA, and also the authority of the CGE handbook, and also how then the principles of corporate governance manage these two documents in such a manner that will enable effectiveness and accountability at the CGE. So this is the position which we have communicated in past in relation to this, and yes, work has been done by management. I think that the chair of plenary has indicated that the handbook was subjected to a review, and certain things came out of that process. As a committee, we haven't had sight of what was recommended as changes to the handbook. But we hope that the work that has been carried thus far is in response to that which we recommended. And if I may, Chair, deal with the next one, which is the issues around human resource management, such as non-compliance with the performance management development plan, leave policy, overtime, and so forth. We note when we engage with the AG, when the management report was presented us, that most of these are recurring. And we do submit that the internal audit, when we formulated the annual internal audit plan for the 2021-2022 financial year, we had included audit tasks that will attend to HR. And give us some assurance whether that which was proposed by management is responsive to the audit findings. I report that there were findings raised by internal audit, and I do report that the issues that are sitting in the management right at the most recent one confirm some of the things that were raised by internal audit. I mean by internal audit. And these are recurring. So they were there in the past and they are continuing. However, we have taken a position to perhaps find a new position when we deal with these matters at our next meeting, where we will have an opportunity to look at the 2021-2022 audit outcome improvement plan. Because since the audit was concluded in July, we haven't had an opportunity to meet as the audit committee with management and deal with this. But it was our position at that meeting that we will have to be given ample time to really look at whether the responses given in the audit outcome improvement plan are sufficient to address the occurrence of the HR-related findings. But yes, the one will also take into account some of the submissions that were given to us by management, including certain authority being exercised outside the accounting officer's office, or certain things being instituted or not allowed to continue outside the accounting office, especially that matter that relates to appointments made in contravention of the policies. So we have received submission to that, and we, the answer is, all in all, perhaps we need to, one, study well how management seek to respond to some of these findings, but also how the responses proposed affects the various stakeholders, including those who might have authority above the accounting office, and whether they are acceptable to that action which is proposed by management. So the other matter I'd like to deal with, the issue on scope limitation, which was raised on the lack of information being submitted. I report that this was not raised by the AG, that certain information requested was not brought to their attention. As for us, we are not aware of such. We believe that the team in the recent audit cycle, they provided as much that which was needed to conclude the audit process. And the matter dealing with the need to review policies, we note that there are still gaps. Yes, progress is being made as is shown, but there are still gaps. And the internal audit findings, especially when the team went around the province to look at issues dealing with occupational health, security of staff and security of property, there were findings that suggested that the policy is not adequate, and the policy needs to be looked at and attended to. So yes, we've allowed this process to continue, and hopefully that it will be closed within a matter of ages. And there is a finding that talked to inappropriate segregation of duties and roles. This was discovered or was identified within the finance and SCM unit, which is led by the CFO. During that time, the duty of a finance manager was entrusted to a person who was also responsible for supply chain management, which then was concerning because it then allowed for incompatible duties to be executed by one person and can lead to instances of fraud and corruption. So our emphasis has been, as we have shown in our report, that we will need to have the CFO. And once we have the CFO will have to then look at the resources necessary for that function, so it works effectively. And one of that is to separate supply chain from bookkeeping. And this is a decision that the CFO, Dr. Ngwenya, ought to attend to, I mean, look at and make, so that you do not have incompatible duties being executed by one person. So we are glad to note that Dr. Ngwenya is there, but we have also emphasized on our report the need to provide the resources, including the appointments, also assignment of people to execute incompatible duties. And we included that in our report. And also the issues around the standard operating procedures not being reviewed and approved. I think this is a root cause for what I've highlighted as creating limitations for the institution to ensure that the performance information is tested for credibility continuously, and that evidence is collated and managed in a way that retrieving such evidence is easier for any person who has the authority to look at it, whether it be internal auditors or external auditors. And that always is considered non-material instances of deficiencies, which the AG has reported, are trashed out. And when we do not have a situation where performance indicators are either not supported or are not aligned to the performance plan documents, or they are just flatly incorrect, or they were not there previously and now they are brought in. So the lack of this review, and it touches also to the issue of policy, is the root cause. And in our report, we have indicated the limitations that we have experienced in relation to that aspect of accountability, submitting performance information, and enabling the audit committee to exercise its oversight duties and give an opinion or recommendations in that regard. And the last part, or the last bit, is the asset management and the controls surrounding safeguards of assets. So this links one to the provision of accommodation that is secured, but also it links to the provision of champions, people who are assigned to check for security. And we had an audit task on this regard. Internal audit went to some of the provincial offices and reported to us, though I note that there was nothing new directly talking to security breaches. However, we note the absence of health and safety representatives at all the offices, which then weaken the security processes or security structures within each office, because there's no one who will see to it that a certain gap exists within our security control, which will either cause a healthy issue on our staff or a security breach on our properties. So these are the 14 findings and our position to each, and how we have tracked them throughout the year, and I've requested that I submit in this way so that I deal with each in the manner I just did now, and I hope it responds to the question which was, or the requirement which was brought before my attention today. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can we get the CFO?
Thank you, Chair. I have noted the input from the audit and risk chairperson. We are working on all the areas that has been identified, even though I still need to engage with him on the supply chain versus the finance, because as far as I'm concerned, the supply chain two people are not involved in the finance matters, but maybe my understanding and his understanding are different. But other than that, I welcome his inputs, as well as to just touch base on the issue of the surplus that was raised by Honorable Masiko, that did we get an approval for retaining the surplus for 2020-2021. We did not. However, our allocation was adjusted with the said same 6 million. It was supposed to be 94 million, but it was increased to 100 million. That is why now in 2022-2023, we have 100 million. But when you look at the outer years for the next financial year, it will go down again to the 94 million. Thank you.
What else is left, Chairperson?
Chairperson, there were just very quick three, four questions, Chair, that we would like to respond on. And I'm going to ask colleagues that are deployed in the Northwest to come in on the third question, Chair. But I think there was an important question that was asked about handover plan. Chair, I think we have learned over time regarding the importance of handover. And I also want to indicate that, Chair, we realized when we were reviewing the policy, which is the handbook, that it was moot on the issue of a proper handover process that CGE commissioners need to follow. And I think these are some of the gaps that we are talking about, Chair, that we are including these things as we learn, as we go. We are learning about this. But just a very detailed on that, Chair, handovers are important. And what we will be doing, Chair, is to make sure that the handover reports are written and submitted to the portfolio committee. And I think with the previous resignations, we have made sure that that happens. It's important. And secondly, there will be a re-delegation of commissioners to provinces so that there are no gaps whilst the four commissioners are away. And we will make sure that it's not just the delegation to provinces, but it will also be the delegation to subcommittees so that the CGE subcommittees don't suffer in the process. That will be the second part. The third part, Chair, I think it will be important to make sure that the induction process and PECs do include the commissioner's exit report. These are very, very, very important. So there will definitely be a plan, Chair, that will be followed internally in terms of a proper handover process. Not to mention that should there be a gap, there will definitely be an acting head of the institution. Let me pause there, Chair. Let me go to the second question that was asked about. It was asked by Honorable Masiko regarding the company secretary. Honorable Masiko, you are quite spot on. I think the matter has been deliberated on in our internal committee meetings as well as plenary, not once, not twice, but I think many times. This is a position that was not there in the organogram. So what we are trying to do is through the business model processes that we are talking about and restructuring processes, I think this is where these company secretary positions will actually find expression and looked at, and then we will then be able to plug in and make sure that company secretaries happen in the organization, because it's important to have one. I think we have really suffered without a company secretary within CGE, and we've seen the gap that it creates if there is no company secretary, Chair. So that's the second one. The third one, why, I think Honorable Ngobo asked a question about why only court monitoring happened in four provinces and not the rest of the five to make nine. I think, Chair, let me indicate that the work was supposed to have been covering all nine provinces. However, we only got responses in those four provinces, Chairperson, for the previous financial year in quarter one. And what we have decided in quarter one was to say that perhaps we need to pause a little bit
look at the tool that was developed or designed to collect data about court monitoring, and make sure that we review that tool, because we felt that perhaps it's not bringing all the information that we want to see. So we are currently in the process of looking at reviewing our tool, but I think in the next few quarters, we will be making sure that we disperse or we send the tool to all other provinces for the response, Chair. I think that is where we are. So that's the work that will be continued during this financial year, just to make sure that it's not only SAPS that we are monitoring, we are also monitoring courts using a revised tool, Chair. Chair, in terms of the Northwest work, I would like to hand over to Commissioner Rakolo and Commissioner Sipanya Mogale just to give a very quick update on the Northwest work that the Commission or Commissioners have done. Over to you, Commissioner Rakolo or Commissioner Mogale. Through you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. The team has delegated that I give this report. As you will remember, with the visit of the 19th and 20th of April, one of the issues that we raised was the unplanned cuts of water and electricity in our current building. We have sorted those out with the current landlord, and to date there hasn't been any interruptions with regards to water and electricity. However, we are still on track to move. And then the second leg was that we followed up Department of Public Works, and they came in August, middle of August, to take us to a building somewhere in town in Mahikeng. We were not pleased with the location of that building. It is in the outskirts and will become very difficult for clients and the public to find the CGE. So as a result, we rejected it. We are awaiting them to show us other buildings that they have shortlisted. But in the meantime, we also went ahead and gave them ideas of where we feel we will be comfortable, where you have your Human Rights Commission and all the other public offices that are accessible that people already know of in terms of location. So they are looking around there, and hopefully they will come back to us anytime now, because we have been following up and putting pressure. And then we then visited with yourselves the shelter on Tuesday, the 19th of April. No, it was Wednesday, the 20th of April. Following that, we then wrote to that shelter with a list of questions that we wanted them to answer with regards to the situation at that shelter. We also CC'd the questions to Department of Social Development as they are being funded by Department of Social Development. And one of the challenges that we faced was that the shelter that we had visited, unfortunately, there was a change of guard in terms of the board and leadership and a whole lot of other challenges that we learned about later. That is why we actually asked Department of Social Development to also give answers. They have responded to us. Again, the report came in last week. It was forwarded to the office of the chair. We have not been able to sit down with the province and the commissioners of the province to look at what the report is saying. But DSD Northwest has actually responded to the questions that we raised in relation to the shelter at Brent. So in a nutshell, that's where we are at. We will be in the position to employ a permanent legal officer at that office. In fact, it is going to be a transfer of the legal officer who is currently within the organization and would like to move to the Northwest. So we're just waiting for that one province to settle down and get their person so that we can continue with the transfer. But what has been happening is the same person has been doubling up helping that province with regards to legal issues. So we are on track in relation to that. That's all from us, Chairperson, with regards to Northwest. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, are you done?
Yes, Chair, we are. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the rest of the questions, Chair, where we did not respond, we will put those in writing following the consultation with managers, and those will be admin-related questions, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time, Chair. It will be on a Friday, and we'll send you a formal invitation so that you can come back. We allow you to have enough time to prepare for the response, and also ARC on the outstanding issues. Please come back and report on the day we are going to set aside for you to come back together with CGE. I think, honorable members, we have come to the end of our meeting because we have a sitting that is starting at 2. And due to this load shedding, maybe that also can disadvantage us, because where I am, load shedding started at 12, and I'm told it will be back at 3. So we must try and save our data and keep looking for a place where there's a network, because today is a three-line whip, if I'm not mistaken. But thank you very much, honorable members and Chairperson and Commissioners, and the new acting CEO and the CFO. Wish you the best so that at least you can take this institution forward. Thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.